Okay, can everyone hear me in the back? You okay? Good afternoon, everyone. Title of my project is Assistive Technology Reutilization Program Outcomes. I'll explain what that means in a minute. But first, I have to disclose that I have nothing to disclose. Basically, I'm going to try to do three things in the next 15 minutes. The first is to describe what an assistive technology reuse program is. The second is to discuss how we're using outcome measures to track how effective this program is in serving the needs of the community. And the third is to report on some of the outcomes that we have collected on this program. So we received some funding through the Rehabilitation Services Administration and a little local corporation money from Emerson Electric to start a program for reutilization equipment. In the community, a lot of times you'll see a lot of organizations have recycle programs where they take in equipment and then give it back out. So it's equipment, assistive technology, whether it's shower benches, wheelchairs, canes, crutches, walkers. So it's pre-owned stuff that is then given back out to people that maybe can't afford new items. And this program is a little different. I'll explain in a minute. But basically, it's a collaborative effort between our local independent living center, Paraquad, and Washington University. So Paraquad is implementing the program, and Washington University is using outcome measures to track the effectiveness of the program. So basically, the purpose of the program is to increase access to assistive technology devices and services for people with disabilities in the St. Louis metropolitan area. And the reason for this program was in 2005, we had very severe Medicaid cuts. And it really affected the devices and equipment that people were getting. And in our area, like I said, there was kind of like loaner closets, like the MS Society, the loaner closet. But it was really, the equipment didn't necessarily always fit the person. It's kind of, you got whatever they had at that time. It wasn't necessarily ever checked for safety. Wasn't ever necessarily sanitized. There weren't really procedures. It was just like they were collecting things that people were giving out, and then people could roll in, they'd open up the closet, and they could pick something out. So this program is a little different in that when the equipment comes in, there's a whole process that happens to equipment before it ever gets in the warehouse, and then there's a whole evaluation and training process of the person before they ever get matched with the equipment. So what we're trying to do is to get the best appropriate equipment to somebody, even though it's not brand new. So just an example of some of the things, when the equipment comes in, it goes through a 14-point check. If it doesn't pass a 14-point check, we might take some of it for parts and then recycle the rest of it. But if it does pass the check, then it gets sanitized and put in our warehouse and into our inventory. In the process of giving folks equipment, depending upon what equipment they're getting. The equipment that we have typically in the back, and again, it kind of depends on what we get. We have things such as hospital beds, Hoyer lifts, but probably the things that come in the most and go out the most are manual wheelchairs. We have a lot of people that either for whatever reason, their current manual wheelchair is not working and they need a new one, but it's within that 5-year period where they can't get a new one from their insurance company, or they've had a problem getting a backup chair from the insurance company. They can only get one chair, so they have a power chair, but they need a backup manual chair. The other things that are pretty common, shower chairs and toilet commodes. If anybody is coming in and they're getting a mobility device, such as a power wheelchair or a manual wheelchair, and they've never used one before, we'll put them through what we call a skills course. And the pictures on the screen show pieces of the skills course, and it's basically things that you would see in your environment that you may have to go over with your mobility device. So in the picture, the carpet, a cross slope simulating like a crooked sidewalk. The steps we use more for if somebody's coming in to fit a cane or a walker. And this is just more detailed pictures. We have some different sloped ramps, some different height curves, some holes that simulate potholes in the sidewalk, where we can simulate somebody's caster getting stuck and see if they have the ability to get in and out. This is a turning radius simulating ADAG guidelines for the space that you have in the bathroom to be able to maneuver your chair. So if they can't maneuver their chair within that circle, they're probably going to get stuck in the bathroom. That might not be the best device for them. So we feel like our program is offering services as well as equipment. And so we're wondering the effectiveness of the program as a whole as far as outcomes. And traditionally, a lot of the recycle or reuse assisted technology programs, what they're reporting for outcomes is really outputs. So it's, you know, how many devices they've given up that year, how many manual chairs, how many toilet benches. And we want to go a little bit deeper and actually see, are people using the equipment that we're giving them? How are they using it? Did it meet their needs? So the importance of outcomes related to assistive technology is, you know, we want to see, did they abandon it? Are they using it safely? Was the device effective for their needs? Was it appropriate? Did it have any impact on their quality of life or participation? And also just to get consumer feedback on the program as a whole, how we can maybe improve things because it is a fairly new program. So earlier today, there was a session on some outcome measures, measurement tools. David Gray spoke on some participation measures. And these measures are more measuring community-based participation. And the neat thing about these measures is that you can actually just use pieces of the measure depending upon what you're actually trying to measure. So I'll give you an example in a minute. But our outcome measure was made up of three different things. One was the core, it gets basic demographic information, a little bit of health information. The participation survey, it gets at how people are participating in their community. And then something called the Quebec User Evaluation of Satisfaction with Assistive Technology by Demers. It looks at satisfaction with assistive technology. So what we learned through some focus groups was dependent upon, and I think we already knew this as well, but dependent upon what device the person gets, they're probably using it for different activities. So if they're getting a shower chair, they're probably using it for bathing. If they're getting a toilet commode, it's probably for toileting. Now mobility devices might be a little bit more broad. So what we did in the participation measures for those, we picked activities that we thought a mobility device might affect, such as moving around inside your home, leaving your home, leisure activities, and possibly if they're working or volunteering, it might have an impact. We tested these out in focus groups of folks that had received devices previously from our program, just to make sure that the questions we did pick from the reliable outcome tools that we used were appropriate. We had three different participant groups. Two were made up of mobility group users, and one was made of shower chair and commode group, folks that got a toilet commode. So the focus group results, the one big thing that we really learned when folks came in the focus group was that they were telling us that the device they got from the program was really decreasing their falls when they went out in the community. The reason that they came to our program was that they were falling more. And we really didn't have questions that were looking at falling. So we modified that. Our surveys, we also learned that a lot of people use a lot of different types of devices, and we really wanted people to answer the questions related to the device they received from our program. So we needed to be specific when we asked them the questions that we wanted them to answer the participation questions on how they were using their device that they got from our program, not all the assistive technology that they have. We needed to clarify some of our activity definitions. People, they were filling out our survey and they would say that they were not doing any leisure activities. And then they would come in the focus group and tell us that they're, now that they have this manual wheelchair, they're taking their dog for really long walks and they're listing all these leisure activities, but then on the survey, they're filling out none. So we really need to go back and redefine how we were defining our activity and participation. They did tell us that the questions that we asked were relevant to how they were using the device, the activities that we selected, so that was good confirmation of that. So what we did after the focus groups was anybody that had received a device within the last year, we sent the surveys to kind of as a retrospective study. The whole purpose of how we're going to be implementing this outcome measure is we're going to be doing a pre and a post test. So when somebody comes in, the questionnaires right now take about 10 to 15 minutes. When they come in to get the device, we'll get a pre, like a baseline of what their participation is. And a month later, ideally, it will be a telephone interview. When we call back a month later, it will be a post. But again, we wanted to test the survey just a little further, so we sent them out in the mail and had people who had already received the device fill out the survey. We mailed out 338 surveys. We received 117 back. And again, there's three different versions of the survey. So we received 38 back from the shower chair group, 17 from the raised toilet seat group, and 62 from the mobility device group. The demographics is mostly as high female group at 72%. It was pretty much 50-50 in race between black and white. Impairment group was really a mobility group. Lower income group, and the mean age was 56 years old. And 80% of the folks that we sent the survey to were currently using the device that we gave them. Falling, so like I said in the focus group, people were telling us that the device was really decreasing how many times that they were falling, that was something that the device really impacted. So we wanted to test those questions. Have you fallen in the past month? 35 folks had said yes. Has falls limited participation activities in the past month? Almost 80% somewhat said falls had limited their participation. Then has the AT prevented you from falling? At least almost 80% said at least little of the time that it had. This is data from the Quest that shows satisfaction. So there's different things that they would rate their satisfaction with, different dimensions, or different things such as dimension of the device, durability, effectiveness of the device, weight of the device, ease of using, ease in adjusting, safety, security, and comfort. Those were all things that they would rate in satisfaction. And people were rating most of those as 80% that they were satisfied with those. They would also rate our satisfaction with our services that we gave them as part of the program, such as service delivery, repairs, quality of our professional services, and follow-up. And again, 80% approximately were saying that they were satisfied with our services. We were wondering how people were using the devices we gave them, and this is specifically results just from the mobility group. So these are folks that received wheelchairs, cane, crutches, walkers. This was an N of 62. So moving around inside your house, almost 45% say they always use a device for moving around inside their house. Leaving their home, 45% always. Doing leisure activities, 30% always. So they are using the devices to participate in activities. There was questions with participation in each activity section. So moving around in your home, leaving your home, and leisure activities. There's a question that says, how difficult is it to move around your home with the device and without the device? And this was one of the set of questions that was statistically significant, showing that people were having a lot less difficulty doing those activities with their device. So the device was decreasing their difficulty level participating in those activities. Like I said, the next step, so after we sent them out, we thoroughly looked through the data. We realized what questions aren't working, what questions weren't working, modified it one more time. Now the next step, we will be implementing it as a pre-post survey, probably within the next month. It's sitting in our Human Subjects Committee, IRB, for approval right now. So, and if anybody has any questions, that's my contact information.
We do have a few minutes for questions now. Does anyone have any questions for Carrie?
Carrie, what if people need repairs after they've received it from you? Do you provide them? And also, do they have to sign something to resolve any future potential for you know, litigation if something does go wrong.
Yeah.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, there is, when they come in, there's an intake process. As part of the intake process, there's a liability waiver that they do sign. There's also information that when they receive the device, they have 90 days. If it has a repair or something goes wrong within 90 days, and we do the repair for free. If it's after the 90 days, then it's something, we'll do the repair, but it's something that they're paying for. Or we can bill to their insurance.